Robots Radio presents
Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast.
I'm not usually a hat fan, but wow.
Every like a bear and dagger.
I'm really sipping on that dumb bitch juice today, and
yeah, I am. But you know what? Someday I just might grow out of that. But you will never stop being a jerk.
All chocolate cakes are good. You're a fascist.
It's hideous.
It's horrible.
It's home.
Angry white boy, let's go!
Hello, and welcome to Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast, the monthly roundup episode for September. This is the episode where we talk about the movies of September that we think are going to do badly. That's Simone the Roo.
And that's Chad Ekowitz. Chad, I'm actually thrilled with our movie selection this week because it was the exact kind of like sugary nonsense that I wanted.
You're so, so right. I mean, look, it's the end of September, which means we're obviously going to go into horror month. So we needed like sort of a palate cleanser,
yeah,
to just get us in the mood, get us where we need to go, and just hit it up. And yeah, I think this was perfect for it. I mean, how could you go wrong with these films? They're so adorable.
How could you?
And so this week for our September rundown, we are doing Cinderella and Afterlife of the Party, which... so wonderful. Just,
You know what? We needed a girl boss remake of Cinderella.
Oh, and we got one. If by hook or by crook, they were going to shove it down your throat. Goodness me.
So many thoughts. Chad, what are you drinking to get us through this?
To get us through this, I like how you said we needed that sweet candy-like sort of sugary overindulgence. So I am drinking Sloe Gin and Sprite. My drink today. Yeah, I saw it in the cupboard, and seeing as this is probably one of the last weekends where I will be living at my parents' where there is free booze, I thought, let's take full advantage of that before I have to pay for it myself.
Valid. Fair. I would do the same.
Yeah. How about you? What are you drinking?
I'm just drinking a red wine. We had some leftover from a bottle from Friday. You know, that half-empty bottle just staring at me.
Gotta get it done. It's economical.
Gotta get it done.
It's good for the environment. It's good for your wallet. I mean, you're just, what you are is a economical girl boss, to use the phrase that
you
use. You know, you are resourceful and you know, you're going to be a CEO queen.
A CEO, if you will.
Oh, sorry. A CEO.
I hate that term so much. It makes me want to vomit.
Oh, I don't know. What do you think is worse, a CEO or a crypto bro? Who is worse out of the two?
I feel like at least the term CEO is like a very manufactured capitalist thing, and it really shows like the weird warped mindset that women have had to adopt about like their role in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Whereas crypto bros are just kind of assholes who think they're smarter than everyone because like the word blockchain they pretend to understand.
Yeah, you're so very right. You're so, so very right. And when they use the phrase like pump and dump and shit like that, and you're supposed to be impressed by them. And it's just like, you're just the new Wall Street asshole. Like, everyone hates you.
Oh my God.
Just
oh
as
my
much.
God. If you're at a party and someone brings up crypto, you're just like, oh, this is not a person I need to talk to. Thank you so much for saving me the trouble.
That's actually a good litmus test. I mean, if you were ever single again, I think that would be a great litmus test for you. Just go up to someone and be like, oh, have you invested in crypto? And they're like, if they start, you just
because
slowly
walk
away.
Is an answer like, oh, yeah, it's something I'm interested in, but like, yeah, I've tried it out, but like, I'm interested in lots of different things. Great answer. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to judge you for investing in crypto. Maybe you're smarter than me. I don't know. But it's the moment that they're like, oh, well, Ethereum, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. Can
but
you really
fair,
invest in crypto?
It's the system without trust.
Oh, that's what we need. That is exactly what we need in late stage capitalism, right? Oh, the joy.
We don't need to go down this road. We're going to have crypto bros just hammering down the door, being like, I don't really understand how it works. There's a ledger. And I know there's a fucking ledger.
Yeah, I mean, you know crypto bros. It would be because you're a woman. They'd just be like, oh, she clearly doesn't understand how it works.
I mean, I barely do, but I understand it enough to know that it's probably not something I should put my money into.
It just ain't safe. It's just, you know,
there are lots of things I don't put my money into, so cryptocurrency's not special.
No, no. So I think we should change this podcast into a completely just monetary-based podcast. You know, two late 20-something.
All finance advice from two idiots.
Yeah, that would be so good. I think that's the way forward, don't you? Just terrible money advice every week.
So, Chad, here's how I'm looking at my credit card debt and just people screaming.
Do you know what you should invest in? Shellfish. It's a really good market, especially if you're in a landlocked country. Just
think about it.
Think about it. What is there always lots of? Crustaceans. The sea is an endless possibility.
That's true.
And speaking of endless possibilities, since I am drinking slow gin and you are drinking red wine, I believe it is stronger than yours, and I get to talk about Cinderella.
I'm so thrilled for you.
I am thrilled for me too. This is the best. So, Ella, played by Camila Cabello, lives with her stepmother Vivian, played by Idina Menzel, and her two stepsisters Malvolia and Narissa, played by Maddie Baglio and Charlotte Spencer, respectively. She is quite downtrodden and has been treated like a slave by her stepfamily since her father left them. So much so, in fact, that they all call her Cinderella because she is always very dirty and is covered in soot and cinders.
We literally never see her close to a fire even once in movie, but she's, I won't.
Yeah, we'll get into the way she's treated because I love it. So all Cinderella wants is to sell her dresses, become a businesswoman, and rise above her meager life. Unfortunately, the town where she lives is very old-fashioned and would never dream of a woman owning her own business. Plus, her stepmother always gets in her way, saying that she must focus on finding a husband that will take her and forget these silly notions. On the other side of town, King Rowan, played by Pierce Brosnan, is looking to end his reign and name his son as his successor. Unfortunately, the prince, Prince Robert, played by Nicholas Galitzine, is not ready to settle down and become king. He does not want to marry for power or allegiances, but for love, which is a notion that his father just can't quite understand. All the while, his sister, Princess Gwen, played by Tallulah Grieve, has these brilliant ideas on how to run the kingdom, but because she is a woman, is not even a contender for the throne. After a monumental fight between Prince Robert and the king gives Robin an ultimatum. He has to find a woman he loves in 5 days, or he will have to marry someone who he doesn't love but would strengthen the kingdom. Robert accepts. Later, there is a town meeting where the king announces his succession. Cinderella sneaks her way into the crowd, but wants to have a better view of the proceedings, so climbs on a statue of the king. The king notices and has a major freakout. But Robert also notices and is enamored by this mystery woman's boldness. He must meet her. Later, he disguises himself and walks around the commoners, hoping to meet her. He does, and they have this super cute flirty conversation where Cinderella reveals her wishes to be a dressmaker. The prince buys it off her, and then leaves. She is ecstatic because she has sold her first dress, despite everyone being against her. When the prince gets home, the king tells him that they are to have a ball so that all the eligible ladies will be presented to him and he can choose a wife. Robert wants the ball to be open to all women, and not just those of the upper classes, and the king reluctantly agrees. The news is spread about the ball, and Cinderella is dead keen to go along. The day of the ball arrives, and Cinderella has made this stunning dress. She gets ready and heads up to join her stepfamily to go off to the ball. That's when her stepmother tells her that there is no point of her going to the ball, because that very morning, her hand in marriage was promised to another. Vivian also throws ink on her dress, so now Cinderella definitely can't go. She cries and sings a song, and boom! Her fabulous godmother appears out of magic. The fabulous godmother is played by Billy Porter. With some bibbidi-bobbidi magic, the fabulous godmother makes Cinderella a new dress, turns her mice companions into manservants, and turns a box into a carriage. She is then off to the ball! At the ball, Cinderella and Robert dance, and Robert falls more and more in love with her. In the meantime, Cinderella speaks to a queen from a distant land who wants her to make dresses for her and travel with her all over the world. Cinderella is ecstatic and decides to join her. All she has to do is be at the town square the next day at 4 p.m. Obviously, this is going to be problematic when Cinderella has to return to her normal life, but she'll make it happen. Robert then announces that he wants to make her his bride, but she declines. At that very moment, the clock chimes 12 and Cinderella has to leave. She runs away, but leaves her glass slipper behind. The next day, the prince begins his search for Cinderella, using the glass slipper as an indicator, and Cinderella is trying to organize so that she can go off with the queen. But at that time, Vivian comes down to take her to her new husband. Luckily, Cinderella is able to run away and starts legging it to the town square because she's really running out of time. At that moment, the prince is able to catch up with her and confess his love. She tells him of the deal with the queen, and he helps her get to the town square in time. at the town square. The queen is super impressed and wants to hire Cinderella. The prince is elated for her. The king comes around to the idea of marrying for love and decides to change the rules. Since Cinderella is going traveling with the queen, Prince Robert will join them and they will figure things out as they go along. In the meantime, Princess Gwen will be the queen and will rule the realm. Everyone lives happily ever after. The end.
The end. Chad, what's your cliffhanger for this one?
So it has to be this scene.
So we good? Because I got a thing.
You're bringing shame on this family, Robert. Have you seen this?
The Roundabout Players present The King's Idiot Son. Ooh, do you think we can still get tickets?
I'm becoming a laughingstock.
I think you're overreacting.
Well, why don't you ask the Roundabout Players if I'm overreacting? They are currently in a dark, windowless room under the castle.
You can't leave actors alone in a basement without attention. They'll die.
When you marry, you'll settle down. You'll stop behaving like my idiot son, and the perception of the people will be that you take the crown seriously.
You can't control me.
Oh, that's exactly what I can do. That's the perk of being the king.
But I feel nothing for these women. It's crazy to think I'm actually going to fall in love with one of them.
Kings marry for power,
not for love. Oh, well, it's perfect then. Then mother came with 3 castles and 100 horses, or I suppose I never would have been born.
Silence! Don't talk about what you don't understand. Continue to defy me. And just out of spite, I'll give it all. The crown, the palace, everything. To your sister. Bum, bum, bum. Leave us, Gwen.
And it's the fight surrounded by the choir in the background.
Yeah, it's fun.
I've chosen this because I think this encapsulates what makes this movie really great. It's just sort of like the banter within it. And
yeah, it's cute.
You know, it's really, really cute. I love the little moments like that, which are just so, so nice and so, so sweet and make this very different from sort of the sort of Disney princess Cinderella of the olden days. And I really, really enjoy that.
I really liked the fact that the movie was so, like, bright and colorful. Mm-hmm. I liked all the dance numbers and a lot of the musical numbers. So it's a jukebox musical. Mm-hmm. So there are some very specific song choices. But overall, it's fun. I liked the ball scene where they're doing mm-hmm. What a Man. That was fun. I think it was definitely a nice update on mm-hmm. the Cinderella story. Mm-hmm. I hated the girl boss thing. I hated every minute of it. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. I hate it.
I agree with you. There was, like, especially in the beginning, it was really thick. And it was really, really frustrating to watch and be like, okay, this is clearly Amazon just trying to, like, you know,
yeah, this like appease. Performative wokeness.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Am I right, ladies?
Exactly.
She doesn't want a man. She wants to work for herself and sell dresses, a still typically feminine job, and actually one that historically has often belonged to women. But
yeah. And all the while, Jeff Bezos is just getting that money in, just raking it in like a true girl boss that he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it did feel very pandery. However, upon saying that, I do disagree with you towards the end of the film when Vivian reveals her whole thing with the piano. And there's like that really powerful moment where it's like showing sort of the queen, who is played by
Minnie Driver,
who I didn't mention because she didn't really
love Minnie Driver, though,
and stuff. But she was brilliant. You know, it's like doing different shots of Gwen and Minnie Driver and Vivian and all the women who were downpressed by this, like, mm-hmm. really sort of archaic lifestyle. And I was like, this is actually fucking cute.
Yeah.
And I really liked that aspect of changing the evil stepmother into not someone who's evil, but rather someone who's just trying to look out for Cinderella, how she wished she had seen the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's jaded, but it's still loving and protective. And I thought that was a very cute remake.
I agree, actually. I think, you know, the thing with whenever you're doing some sort of Cinderella story is, like, you have to have a reason for the stepmom to be the way that she is. And some movies obviously fail at that quite badly. But the really good movies usually do have a reason, like some sort of bitterness or, like, why she's so angry. All the best ones have that. And I think this one was definitely no exception. Mm-hmm. I think Idina Menzel obviously did an amazing job. She's such a good singer. She's such a good actress. Yeah. Like, this is a great role for her.
Yeah.
And I think she brought, like, a lot of sensitivity and balance and interest to the role. that I think a lesser actress actually wouldn't have been able to manage.
Definitely. Definitely.
Even with that script.
Yeah. And yeah, she did such a bang up job. And yeah, the family dynamic was actually quite nice. I mean, it doesn't work for the tragedy of Cinderella, like you were saying. Not once was she near a fire. I think the worst thing that happened to Cinderella during her time with the Step family was she made tea and it was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, she's treated very
equally. Which, in all fairness, she should be better.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's tea. It's not hard. But, you know, like, it is just really interesting, the dynamic that they decided to do with this one. Because, you know, you've got the stepsisters who actually, like, really appreciate Cinderella and things like that. Like, there's that great scene where they go off to the ball, where they're about to go off to the ball, and Cinderella comes upstairs, and Malvolia goes, well, there's no point of me going anymore. And she just, like, looks so downtrodden when she sees Cinderella, and she's like, okay, I've got no chance next to Cinderella. And I was like, fuck, that's actually hella cute.
Yeah. At worst, they're really just super self-involved. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say they're specifically cruel to Cinderella, which was also nice. Like, I kind of get over that, like, cartoonishly evil stepsister thing. Like, I thought this was a very nice refresh, like, of that relationship.
Definitely.
Where my problem came in, because also I don't even specifically have a problem with, like, a Cinderella who's not super interested in the prince, right? Like,
right.
I actually didn't have a huge problem with, like, the fact that she really wanted to get to the ball so that she could, like, advertise her dresses.
Yeah.
Where my problem comes in, right, is you have all these cool female characters, like, longing for empowerment, mm-hmm. and then a man gives it to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They worked within the existing infrastructure.
Yeah.
And the king was finally like, oh, I guess I love my wife, so the rest of you guys can have what you want. And they were like, yay, thanks, feminism. And it's like, not really.
No, that's not how it works.
Even her fucking fairy godmother is a man, albeit beautiful, fantastic, incredible singer, gay man. Even he's the one who gives her the opportunity to mm-hmm. go to the ball to advertise her dresses.
Yeah, it kind of completely falls down. Yeah.
Guys, come on.
Yeah, it like, how, okay, so the question then for you is, I mean, this is quite a hot thing to drop on you, like, right now, but, like, how do you fix that? Because, like, I'm not sure how you would, like, necessarily fix that.
I mean, in my mind, the queen would take a leaf out of that cool African queen's book, behead the king,
and slaughter
take it over,
yes.
Be like, hey, daughter, you have some cool ideas, like, let's start working with that. Yeah, your useless brother can mm-hmm. go fuck off and do whatever he wants. Cinderella gets her fucking self to the ball anyway. She's got a backup dress
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a horse.
Yeah, that's actually a good shout. Yeah, no, you're so right. Yeah,
it's just like this weird toned down message where it's like, no, ladies, like, if you feel downtrodden because of your gender, you can work within the existing structures and keep men happy and be super in love and get everything that you want with the patriarchy. Work with them, not against them.
Yeah. Separate,
it's ridiculous.
But equal, you guys. It's always worked in the past.
Separate, it's always worked in the past.
Always been a good thing.
As long as you're agreeable
really right.
and lovable and sweet, things will work out for you.
Do you think there was, like, some female writers in the room writing this, and then the male writers were just like, yeah, but we're still gonna have a king, okay? Like, we have to have the king doing these things. And the women are just like, but it goes against everything that we're trying to show in this movie. And they're just like, okay, I know you're getting emotional. I know it's your time of the month, mm-hmm. but this is what we just need.
Okay, and you know exactly who said that was the producer of this movie, James Corden, who apparently can't stay away from a musical.
Oh, of course it was James Corden. How am I not mm-hmm. surprised by this?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell. Yeah. What a wanker. Fucking hate that guy. Saw him in this movie and I was very disappointed by that. He had, like, his own little 5 minutes on screen. Look at me, I'm so funny and charming, and you're not. You're the fucking devil.
Do you think he has some sort of contract where if there's a mediocre musical to be found somewhere, he must be in it?
Definitely.
Or...
definitely. I think, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's his. He's got sort of a contract with every single major studio to just be in all musicals until the day he dies. I wouldn't
I guess
be surprised.
He was producing this one, so.
Yeah.
Yay.
I reckon, I 100% reckon he will be in Dear Evan Hansen. Like, I have, like, that inkling that he will be, like, a substitute.
I hate how right you are.
He'll be, like,
I
a substitute it. Teacher or something. He will fucking be in it. I know it.
Oh, God. Oh,
I'm so done with him. The only thing that I really didn't like about this movie was the animation of the mice. That really rubbed me
Ooh,
the wrong
creepy.
Way. Very creepy mice. Just, you know, it is 2021. Yeah. Amazon has all the money in the world. You would think that their CGI department would just be, you know, not necessarily using Windows Movie Maker, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All of that to say, I thought Camila Cabello was a great Cinderella. Incredible. I thought she made a great princess. Yep. I like that she was a really good mix of, like, fun and kind and sassy and clumsy because it's endearing and awkward. And I thought, yeah, sure. Why not? It's an updated Cinderella. It's not for us as an audience. It's for much younger. It's for today's, I would say, 5 to 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I think for those purposes, like, it works fine. A lot of those songs are new-ish to them, whereas to us, they feel very old.
Yeah, especially when Find Me Somebody to Love came on. I was ready to just straight up rip my jaw apart. I was so fucking done at that moment. I was so angry because you know how I feel about, you know, jukebox musicals as it stands.
I know, yeah, I know.
And I texted you, and I texted you about it as well.
I also don't love a jukebox musical, to be honest. And I found a lot of the song choices not the best.
Yeah, there was like one or two.
Oh, they do the ball scene to fucking Ed Sheeran.
That was fucking spectacular.
I wanted to die. And they're like, they're both really great vocalists, right? Like, the duet itself was actually very beautiful. Mm-hmm. The ballroom scene was very beautiful. And I was like, this was written for children who were not alive when this song came out.
No. You've got so many more choices. I mean, fucking just do a Camila Cabello song. I'm sure she's got one.
Truly.
Yeah. Really.
Christ.
Outrageous. But you know what? Despite it being a jukebox musical, I was actually okay with this one. This one I could get behind. This is probably the only jukebox musical that I would watch again. I hate all of the rest of them.
That is such a bizarre statement, Chad. I truly don't know what to think about this.
Look.
So wait, you would rather watch this than Moulin Rouge?
Yes.
Than Mamma Mia?
Yes, obviously. Moulin Rouge is palatable at best, and I better be drinking.
Rock of Ages.
Okay, no, okay. That was a joke, and I'm still mad about it. I'm still mad that you even suggested it. But no, this is the weird hill that I'm dying on. Cinderella works in mysterious ways, and I'm okay with that. So let's move on. What's your golden nugget for this bad boy? What's your cheeky golden nugget?
My golden nugget for this, I think, is definitely just the overall spectacle of the movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really visually very cool movie.
Yeah.
There was clearly a lot of thought put into, like, the sets and the costumes and everything. And it's really pretty. Like, it's super fun. And I think if you're watching it with, if you want something to watch with a young person, that would be, I guess, the way to go.
No, I completely agree with you. I think it's lovely, and I think that is sort of my golden nugget too, is the fact that it just doesn't take itself too seriously. You know, it realizes that it's another Cinderella remake, and it just has a good laugh about it. I mean, there's that scene where the fabulous godmother comes down, and Cinderella's all sad, and she and the godmother says something, and Cinderella goes, "Yeah, I was just singing a song about it. Did you not hear that?"
Crying.
And it's beautiful.
It's great. I also like that, like, there isn't a scene where Cinderella gets too mopey. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's, like, some really tragic Cinderellas where she has, like, a good cry by the fireplace, and you're like, oh no, poor Cinderella. Like, they skip through that real quick, which I like.
Exactly. It was nice. It's a modern Cinderella, and you gotta appreciate it. Yeah. Very cool. Would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
No. No, my favorite Cinderella of all time is still the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella with Brandy. That is the best one. You'll never convince me otherwise.
Right. Okay.
It's so beautiful and romantic and perfect. And it's got Brandy in it, so.
Fair. Yeah. To be honest, yeah, I would recommend it. I like this film. I think, you know, eventually when I do have kids, I would be more than happy to sit them down and make them watch this one because it's just fun.
And then just have a very serious discussion about disrupting power structures.
Yeah,
afterwards.
Yeah, about not working within the system if the system is broken. But also, you know, being an ex-Prince Charming myself, I would bring a sort of...
Oh,
there
it
is.
Can we even do a Cinderella story without...
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that I was once Prince Charming. As I age and wrinkle, I need to make sure that the world knows that I was once pretty enough to play Prince Charming. We almost got through it, Simone. We almost did, but we won't. We will never.
You'll always be Prince Charming to us, Chad.
Thank you, Simone. Oh, God. Okay, well, how about you tell me about life after party of the life, life after, life party after party.
The afterlife of the party.
Thank you.
It's a, see, Chad, you'll notice it's actually a very funny pun.
Okay, tell me, because I don't get it.
It's a play on words, right? Because she is the life of the party. Okay. She likes to party, which is bad.
Oh, okay.
But then she's also in her afterlife because she's dead.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It's so clever.
That
it's
is so clever. Goodness me.
I know. With I know. It took me a minute too. I'm not gonna lie.
This movie was really complicated and I was lost like 90% of the way through.
And now you get it.
And now I get it. Like, with such, like, delicate and intricate writing, it now makes all sense. Yeah. That's why it was so on it. Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you all about it.
Please do.
Cassie, played by Victoria Justice, is a super cool event planner / party girl living her dream life in a very big apartment for San Diego. she lives with her roommate and best friend since childhood, Lisa, played by Midori Francis. And the two of them, while they're super different, Lisa's very bookish and loves just quiet nights in, the two of them are still best friends. It is Cassie's birthday, and they are going to go out on the town. The two of them are sort of experiencing a bit of friction because Lisa just kind of wants to stay home and hang out and do friend stuff, and Cassie's like, no, I want to go out and party. And as the night progresses, this becomes more and more obvious, especially as Lisa points out Cassie doesn't really know any of her friends, and is she even really having a good time? It basically turns into an argument where they decide that they're not friends anymore. Before Cassie can apologize that the next morning, she slips in the bathroom because she's hungover, hits her head, and dies. Q2, her waking up in essentially purgatory. She meets her, like, angel handler, Val, played by Robin Scott, who tells her that, listen, in order for her to get like, all the way to, like, the good place, she's got to cross a couple things off her list. She's got some unfinished business on Earth that she needs to take care of. Cassie's like, cool, sure, fine, I guess. And the three people on her list are Lisa, her father Howie, played by Adam Garcia, and it's her mom, Sophia, played by Gloria Garcia. Obviously, this is tricky for her because she was really distant with her dad, and she was mad with her mom because her mom left when she was really young, and obviously she had that fight with Lisa before she died. By the time she gets to Earth, it is a year later, and she is off to a rough start because obviously no one can perceive her, and she's wondering how she's supposed to fucking help people. But then she, like, sings a song by an artist, Coop, played by Spencer Sutherland, that they both really like, and suddenly Lisa can see her. So now Cassie and Lisa are working together. What follows, basically, Lisa and Cassie, well, Cassie helps Lisa, like, loosen up a bit, embrace life, take chances with the hot, cool neighbor, you know, try out for the job that she's always wanted. She also gets back in, well, kind of tries to, like, get back in touch with her dad, or at least reach out to him and help make his life better when it's really clear that he's mourning her loss. And Lisa also helps Cassie to just get some answers from her mom and talk to her, as well as meet her half-sister. All of this sort of culminates in everyone feeling a lot more at peace and happier with their lives, and Cassie is finally able to move on to the sweet beyond, and surprise, her celebrity crush died, so she gets to spend eternity with him, I guess?
Yeah! it was so beautiful. Oh my God. Oh, Simone, before we get into that wild, wild thing that happens at the end, tell me, what is your cliffhanger?
My cliffhanger is this one.
It's 75 degrees in sunny San Diego, and the number one song of the day is still Blush by Coop.
I feel your eyes on me. No better. You try to get me to leave. You put on a pressure. Something tells me I should not let go. Something tells me I don't know.
It's a birthday.
I've been working hard not to let you see just what you do to me.
Go, work, drop it low. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I need your help. Question, what do you think? Quarter life chic or quarter life crisis?
Huh, well, right now you're matching the lamp, so.
Would a hat help? Rude.
Here.
Thank you. Okay, for my Cassiepalooza kickoff night, we are gonna start off at the club where I've spent all afternoon decorating the VIP area.
Hey, I have this crazy idea.
Oh, listen.
Instead of going out for your birthday, what if we just stay home and we put on our stretchy pants and we puzzle like we used to and we order more noodles?
Yeah, no, we're not staying in. It's my birthday week. I have to ring in 25 with style.
You rung in the past 4 years with style. What, is taking one night in won't kill you? Besides, we haven't puzzled in weeks. I mean, look at Mona. She is missing her smile, and it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, okay, I'm not bailing on my kickoff party, okay? It is tradition, and my friends are expecting this.
Well, your best friend has a huge week ahead of her. I was just added as one of the junior research assistants on a team studying marsupial fossils here.
I don't fully understand what that means, but congratulations!
I mean, I'm one of three assistants, so it's really
not. No, it is a big deal. You should celebrate, because guess what? Tonight is a celebration. Okay, I'm gonna go change again, so should you. Tonight will be fun, I promise. We leave in an hour. Love you, my bestie, since we were six.
And here's the thing. Is like they kind of try to make it seem like Cassie's a bad friend.
Yes.
Because she like takes Lisa for granted, I guess, and she's a party girl. But all Lisa seems like is fucking sour grapes the whole night. Girl, it's not your birthday. Cassie has told you what she wants to do for her birthday.
Thank you.
Why are you trying to ruin plans? She just said she spent the whole day setting up for her birthday party. And you're like, oh, let's just stay home, the two of us. She's got other friends.
Unbelievable.
During the party, there's absolutely no indication that her friends are in any way fake or not nice or not friends with Cassie. They're actually, they're like buying her shots. They're like picking her up. They're just making sure she has a super fun time. It's just Lisa like being mad that Cassie's not paying attention exclusively to her.
Yes.
And then at the end of the night, all Lisa has to do, she can be like, hey, I'm not feeling it anymore. I'm going to head out. Like, enjoy the rest of your night.
Simple.
But instead, she's like, oh, these people don't care about you. Blah, 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 blah. You're wasting your time. And it's like, bitch, again, she's already said she's elaborately set up another party location. Let her enjoy it. If it's not your thing, it's not your thing. It's fine. You guys have a hangover brunch the next day and move along. Like, your best friend doesn't have to do everything with you all the time.
You're so right.
It's so bad. And Lisa's such a bitch.
Exactly.
Cassie does nothing wrong. Cassie truly does nothing wrong.
No, that relationship is T for toxic from the beginning. And it was... she's horrible. Absolutely. I'm so on your on your side on this. And I was so team Cassie for this. Like, I was, I literally said that, like, you said it. I was just like, bitch, what are you doing? Like, she's so horrible about it. And she's like, oh, I don't, you know, Lisa's like, oh, I don't understand the reason you do things or why you do things. And like, Cassie's like, yeah, I don't understand what you do either, but at least I try. And it's like, oh, but you don't know what I do. Wah, wah, wah. And it's like, yeah, she's dumb. She's never going to get it, but you could kind of get inside her head, you know. You're supposed to be smart. You don't have to agree with it, but if she's happy, who gives a fuck? Why are you being so shitty?
Yeah, and she's being responsible, right? Like, she's not, like, doing coke in the bathroom, which would be fine anyway. Like, she's not, like, doing huge risk-taking behavior. Like, she's surrounded by friends. She's being super safe. She's in control of the locations she's at. Like, it's super safe and healthy. It's just not something Lisa likes. And Lisa hates it.
Yeah, Lisa also hates that she's got other friends and she's not like the be-all and end-all. Yeah, no. That like put me in the wrong space to start this movie.
I know.
Like, I was fuming with Lisa at that. And I was like, you don't, like, if she's on your list, fuck her. Go to hell. Who gives a fuck? If this bitch is on your list and you need to sort of like have closure with her, nah, fuck that shit. She's the worst. No. Unacceptable.
It's totally ridiculous. And I mean, I just find it... I don't think that whoever wrote this really had a keen understanding of female friendships. So it's also, I guess, like on the writers, not just like these poor characters who are put through these weird paces. Like, because everywhere else, like in every other scenario, Lisa's shown to be like super empathetic and nice and like supportive. And it's just like so bizarre that this one thing, she's like, oh, you party too much, my friend who I've known for 20 years.
Exactly.
Like, what? Yeah,
it felt really disjointed. And I think what we can take away from this, clearly, is that sometimes, not sometimes, every time, men don't know how to write women.
Just have one woman in the writer's room, guys. Just, like, one woman.
That's all you need. But otherwise, apart from that horrible display of toxicity, this movie was actually super cute.
It's fine.
I loved Val. She was lovely. She's just, like, this really nice, like, English overseer of things. I did have a little bit of a cry with everything, like, with the dad.
Oh, when the dad sees like, her at the end Cassie. And she's singing that song. That's so nice. I did a bit of a tear.
That's very rare for you. Wowzers. Your cold, dead heart is starting to thaw again.
I don't worry, I had plenty of other moments in this movie where I was like, well, this is fucking pointless, but anyway.
Fair. But yeah, like, all those scenes where, like, the flyers are on the dad's, like, fridge and things, and she's like, was this you again, Cassie? And it's just really cute how, like, on board he is with everything, and yeah, it's just...
He just believes in her.
There's just so many sweet moments in this movie that you just don't expect, and it's lovely. For, like, a Netflix Hallmark movie, it's just really delightful. I think they've really stepped up their game, and we're going to get some really good Christmas stuff this year, I reckon.
I hope not. obviously, the two problems I had with it, we'll get to the ending in a sec, is that Cassie actually doesn't really go through a big character arc. Like, she doesn't have a central flaw. Like, she's actually a very good friend, like we established. She's a good friend. She cares about the people in her life. She was very distant from her dad for a while because she sometimes, like, found him suffocating. And obviously she was mad at her mom for very understandable reasons and never confronted her. So, like, she ticks that kind of stuff off her list. But it's not an internal flaw at any point. It's not she's super self-involved or super selfish or vindictive or kind of mean or anything. Like, she starts off as a nice person and she ends off as a nice person who just got some closure. Which I was like, I don't really understand then why they're making her do this.
You see, like, that's strange because I actually kind of like that. So, like, I'm really tired of sort of, you know, fake stakes in movies, you know, like, everything is so heightened and everything. And this was just, like, a really pleasant movie where she just, like, went from A to B in order to get to heaven. Like, there was no sort of, like, compelling sort of, you know, conflict or anything, really. It was just, like... I'm just going to go through the motions. And I kind of like that. It was just easy to watch for that reason. And you know, I didn't feel...
I mean, I get you. But the alternative to her, like... The alternative was her going to hell, right? Like, if she didn't...
Okay.
Weirdly reach closure with her loved one, she was going to go to hell. But she's not... She did nothing wrong. She wasn't a bad person. Yeah.
It's actually a wild
punishment.
It
was just a very bizarre moment. I was like, but she's not evil. Like...
Yeah, it's wild. It's a wild, wild punishment, actually. If you don't get closure. Like, that's, like, the worst therapy you could ever go to. If you don't get closure, you're going to hell. Like, that's kind of fucked up, actually. Now that you mention it, you make a very good point there.
Like, there were stakes, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, you have a very good point. And there were weird stakes. It wasn't sort of like...
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I missed that there were stakes, because it was just wildly inappropriate stakes. Okay, should we move on? Talking of wild things, should we move on to the end scene where this poor, innocent guy had to die just so that Cassie could have someone in the afterlife? What the fuck?
To what end? Like, he's sort of a recurring theme throughout the movie. Like, they really like his music, and they kind of bond through his music, and obviously they go... Also, a weird first date with someone is going to a music video taping in public. That was odd.
Yeah, that was an interesting take.
Yeah, and then she's there at the taping, like, trying to look at him, and she's, like, talking about how... I guess, like, maybe the whole thing was she was talking about how lonely she's going to be in the afterlife because she's leaving everyone behind. But it's, like, she also clearly has this really weird parasocial relationship with the singer guy, and now I guess they get to be together because they're soulmates, maybe. They've spoken 5 words to each other.
Yeah, exactly. She just loves him because, he's the super hot singer guy, but also... I'm sorry, he kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, that guy has definitely got some skeletons under the floorboards. Yeah, he's murdered
someone. Oh,
yeah,
he's definitely murdered someone and had his lawyers cover it up.
Yeah, I don't trust him. Not even, like, how he got into heaven, I don't understand. Obviously, he got through his closure very quickly, since that's the
good
only
for him.
Thing that gets you into
Time
heaven.
Time works differently up there.
Yeah, that I didn't understand either. It was sort of just like, oh, it's a year later now. Cool. Fine.
She was in that waiting room for 10 minutes. She spends other time in that waiting room, and apparently, like, that doesn't skip time.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, fine. Fair enough.
Fine.
Yeah. Loved the outfits. The outfit changes were one of my favorite part of this whole thing. Strangely enough, it was just lovely that, you know, you got that really nice sort of mirrorable shiny dress. And then, like, as the movie progresses,
that was cool.
She wears more, like, sort of neutral things, like jeans and a t-shirt and things. And I thought that was quite a cute little, you know, sub thing. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what else is there to really say about this movie? Is there anything else you really want to mention?
No, I think it was a darling, good for an hour and a half movie that you can watch. Don't think about it too much.
No.
It's cute. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. So what's your golden nugget for this one?
I think for me, the golden nugget is definitely the dad, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, I just found her whole journey with him, like, to be the most sincere and sweetest. And, like, oh, he's such a cutie pie. He looks about, like, 10 years older than her. So it was, like, a weird casting choice, but okay. But, yeah, it was very sweet. Like I said, had a little bit of a tear at the end. Mm-hmm. And it's nice that she hooked him up with a baker. That's fun.
Yeah, he can get fat.
I mean, I don't know how much yoga it takes to work off a brownie, but I imagine a lot.
A lot. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be fasting throughout the rest of the day. He's going to have one brownie a day, and that's all he's going to be allowed. Yeah, yeah.
Look, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do, yeah. For me, it's definitely, I think that it was just, like, there was no manufactured tension. Like, yes, Lisa and Cassie fought and stuff like that, but it was, like, immediately fixed. There was none of this sort of, like, well, I'm mad at her, and we're not going to speak, and I need to go and, you know, find wisdom from someone else to fix this. It was just sort of like, okay, we had a fight, we're best friends, we're not going to fuck this up anymore.
Yeah.
And then that was it, and I really appreciated that. There was just, like, no manufactured tension, because that is sort of what these films sort of fall into. So,
I mean, except at the very beginning when they did fight, and we were just like, what is happening right now?
That was just like a toxic friend kind of fight. That wasn't a real fight. That was so
Lisa, what is you doing?
Yeah, come on girl. This is like, I'm not surprised Cassie was so confused.
And they also imply, like, maybe she's a little mad that she just got this, like, promotion thing and they're not celebrating it, but it's like, it's your friend's birthday. You guys can celebrate any other time. Like, what
exactly?
You've got a whole weekend ahead of you. What's happening?
Yeah, calm down. And she just wants to, like, play a puzzle. So obviously she doesn't want to really celebrate. She just wants to, you know, keep you to herself. Yeah. Would you recommend it?
Not really. It was fine. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say, like, don't watch it, but, like, I don't know if it's, like, a rewatch for me, so it's fine. I could live with it. I could live without it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I agree with you.
What about you?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I mean, if we're talking, like, if I'm in the weirdest situation in the world where we're just talking weird Hallmark movies to just watch, I'd probably recommend this.
Sure.
But if we're just talking generally, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably just go, yeah, don't bother. Like, there are, like, plenty of other things on Netflix which are equally, if not better. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But look, I'm glad we watched it. I'm very happy that we watched both of these movies.
And now we know.
Definitely. Yeah. And now we know. So, Simone, how was your September? Proper roundup of September. How was your September?
It was good. It started with a very fun birthday celebration for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, otherwise just been solid. It's getting warmer, fucking finally.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, I wore a t-shirt outside yesterday. It was crazy.
You daredevil.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty nuts. but yeah, it's been a good month. Nice having things warm up again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about your September?
Yeah, it's been lovely. I mean, we're pre-recording this before my birthday, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing. I'm sure it was the best time that I've ever had, that we properly rocked it. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to the rest of my September. It was lovely. Yeah, it's been a good month. I'm happy. You know, it's not getting colder here, which is nice, but, you know, we're not getting as many sunny days, but at least it's not freezing yet, so I'm pretty happy with that. Haven't had to wear jumpers.
Fair enough.
So that's nice. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So, more specifically, what is your gratitude for this week?
It's definitely going to be the heating weather, the warming weather. It just, I truly become a different person, like, when the sun's coming up early and it's warmer outside. Like, I feel like I'm coming out of hibernation.
Yeah, you turn into a proper winter gremlin. Like, it is not your time.
It's not my time. I'm like a little tropical flower.
Mm-hmm. Aw, that's so sweet.
Oh. What a ridiculous way to describe myself. But please, that's how I feel.
Please do that in interviews from now on. It's like, how would you describe yourself? Tropical flower.
I'm a little tropical flower.
Oh.
You have to say it like that.
Yeah, yeah. My girlfriend's brother suggested the best things to say in, like, in an interview, where they say, what is your greatest strength? You say interviews.
Oh,
and if they say, what is your greatest weakness? You say your eyes.
Imagine.
I think that would be great. What would you do? Oh, like, what would you actually do? There's nothing you could fucking do to that. Like, how do you respond?
Oh, my God.
Just, reach over the table, grab hold of their hand, and you just go, your eyes. Everything.
Oh, that's, I mean, that's for if you don't want the job, I
guess.
Yeah,
definitely. That is sensual harassment at its finest. Yeah.
What's your gratitude?
It would definitely be having a weekend to myself. My parents have gone away for this weekend, and I've just had the weekend to myself. I've slept in.
Bliss.
I've just been, you know, enjoying things on the main TV, you know, just, you know, sorting out my life as it is. And it's a very nice precursor to living alone next month. And I'm just very, very ecstatic to have my own space. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely adore my parents. They're the best. But holy shit, you don't realize how much you need your own space until you don't have it, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been a lovely, peaceful weekend, and I feel very zen.
I'm so thrilled.
Yeah, yeah. So, Simone, we are getting into spooky season now. It is October time. Let's bring on the deep, dark, dingy lighting. Let's do it. And I thought, for our first week of Halloween,
I'm ready.
We go back to the beginning.
Oh,
and when I say we go back to the beginning, Simone, I say go back to Halloween horror movies of 1993, the year where we were born.
Oh my God. What have you
right
found,
to the
Chad?
Beginning. Are you ready for this? In 1993, the films Leprechaun and Needful Things were released, and both of them are under 50%.
Yes. What's that second one? Needful Things.
Yes, it's a Stephen King short story that was turned into a movie, so I'm very excited to watch
it. Ooh, fine. Yeah, that's my favorite genre of bad movie.
I know. And then Leprechaun just sounds absolutely ridiculous, and it's got Warwick Davis.
I've been meaning to check out the franchise, so
this is a good start. So yes, first week, go back to our beginnings. We, little born into the world, we're a month old at this stage, and 1983.
What were we absorbing?
This is it. This is how we came into the world. And I'm very
excited.
Yeah,
you were brand new. I was at least, I had a month on you, more or less.
Yeah,
so.
You were wise. You were wise while I was still...
a wise infant.
While I was still treading.
I've only gotten less wise as time goes on.
But more beautiful, Simone.
No, I wouldn't say that. I was a very cute baby.
Well, guys, thank you.
Very creepy. Big eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. That's very fun, though. Creepy babies.
I was a creepy baby.
So guys, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate you. What are you guys, how was your September? What did you guys watch during this month? What new releases do you think we missed out on? What do you think we're sleeping on? And what do you think we should be doing for Halloween? There are 3 more weeks of Halloween, and we will be sort of pushing the boat out this year, we hope. So let us know. And where can they do that, Simone?
They can talk to us on Facebook or Instagram at Fresh Tomatoes Podcast, on Twitter at Fresh Tomatoes MP, and they can email us at Fresh Tomatoes podcast@gmail.com.
There you have it. And as we say at the end of every episode, we
love
you,
and there's nothing you can do about it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey there, my name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of The DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests in the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.